there are a number of items that the House and the Senate both agree to do, and in the spirit of starting to narrow the issues that we have open in conference committee, I think there's a lot of these things that are going to adopt tonight, and Article 3, 4, 5, 6, and 7, and then do not have mics. Do we have mics? Yeah, we do.
Just like the amendments. But not rider. But we're not going over rider language.
So we have a couple of items in Article 3 that we can work through. The first is Senate Section 15, which is a reduction in TEFRA parental contribution. And we've also got a couple of other items with
Mr.
that.
Mr. Chair, I'd move Senate Section 15.
And there's an A81, A88 amendment.
And
just move the A88.
I would move the A88, but we probably ought to look at it
three,
first.
Article 3, Section 15. Yeah. It's the TEFRA. Yes.
So what this does, in essence, is adopt the A88 would adopt the Senate position of reducing that increased parental contribution for the TEFRA fees. And then in addition to that, it would remove the TEFRA fees for disabled children up to 275% of the federal poverty level. I think the total cost on that item was about $2.1 million on the spreadsheet, and the administration has decided this is a good idea, and I think the House does as well. So any discussion on the A88 amendment?
To get passed on. Thank you.
Seeing none, all those in favor of adopting the A88 amendment signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. All those opposed, same sign. Motion prevails.
And Mr. Chair, I would like to move Senate language section 15 of Article 3 as amended.
On that motion, any further discussion? Seeing none. In favor, signify by saying aye.
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 All those opposed, same sign. Motion prevails. And then we have just a small section, Senate Section 39, still in Article 3.
Wait a minute. Let's get this done.
We've got another roll call up on the Senate floor. Let me tell you what we're going to have here. Senate Section 39B is a safe harbor repealer. That we can probably address, and then left in Article 3 is also Senate Section 34, the unenforceable child support. I believe we have the right people in the room to offer some testimony on that. Maybe we could even have some of that. I think that
we're going to adopt the 1.67 rate cut reduction. We're going to get rid of that. It's in the repealer, so I would just point to the...
What section is that?
We're getting rid of... You're adopting this repealer. Yeah. So I was just pointing out
okay.
The portion of the repealer that they're adopting, right?
Yeah, is it in a separate paragraph or anything?
No.
Well, do we want to have testimony? If we don't have any
what is it?
It's education. It's two, I don't know what the Senate
Yep. Yeah, I'd say, you know, adopting. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
I figured.
Yeah, it's pretty vanilla.
Yeah.
You know, I'd way rather spend $8 million with the high beds than.
Mr. Chair, I would move in Article 3, Section 39, I would move Paragraph B.
Paragraph
of the Senate language.
B of the Senate language is a repealer that repeals a diversion program for 16- and 17-year-old juvenile prostitutes that's no longer needed once we get to the safe harbor piece. Is that correct? Any further discussion on that? We did walk through this in the comparing the side-by-sides. Any further discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. All those opposed, same sign. Motion prevails. And then, as mentioned before, we had to run up and vote, which we unfortunately probably will have to do on the Senate side a few times here. We're in session under call. Sorry about that. Senate Section 34, we had some testimony, I believe it was yesterday, but it seemed like neither the department nor the counties thought they had the right person in the room, so maybe we could open up the unenforceable child support collections issue and for an additional round of relatively brief testimony, if possible. Welcome to the committee. State your name for the record.
Or the Child Support Enforcement Division at DHS.
My name is Julie Erickson. I'm a staff attorney at the Department of Human Services Child Support Enforcement Division.
Go ahead and do you have testimony to offer? It was suggested yesterday that maybe some of the details around the fiscal note and the implications it was maybe felt around the table that the MFIP costs were difficult to completely understand when we read the fiscal note, that it seemed like the counties made a pretty compelling case that they could keep these cases open if they had any chance of collection so that we wouldn't actually see the reduction in child support collections for arrears for these cases that are over 3 years old, that haven't had any collections and that have emancipated youth, and everybody signs off on the concept of not pursuing it. And you know, the counties would keep one on the rolls if they thought they had any chance, and the person, I can't remember if it's the obligor or the obligee, that would get the money if they'd have to sign off too. It was felt that the counties made a pretty compelling case that this entire loss of child support would not be incurred and then wouldn't result in that MFIP, but the representative from DHS thought that you might have more insight into that, Mr. Campbell.
Mr. Chair and members of the committee, the information that was put in the fiscal note is the best objective information that we can come up with. We, after a previous committee hearing where it was conveyed to me that what you said, Mr. Chair, that our estimates in terms of collections on these cases would be high, we went back and looked at that and reviewed the methodology, and ultimately we don't know what the collections on those cases will be. But we didn't have any kind of objective basis to change our original estimate, so we've left it the way it is.
Correct me if I'm wrong. It's been some time since I've read the fiscal note, but the fiscal note, the objective basis that you used was that every collection in arrears over 3 years old with an emancipated child was assumed to go away. Is that correct?
Well, what we assumed was we looked at the 2012 collections where there was no court order and where there hadn't been a payment in the three previous years, and that was about 2% of the collections. We took half of that, and we said that that was our, we assumed, would be collections that could be made, you know, on closed cases that would be subject to this bill. Now, it might be a little high, but we didn't have a basis for really saying to lower it.
The representative from the counties to the same question.
My name is Mark Consol. I'm Assistant Ramsey County Attorney, and I am the Child Support Director in Ramsey County. I just have a little different perspective on that. What causes us to bring forth this bill is we had, in Ramsey and Hennepin and other counties, had been closing cases using the federal criteria as we know it and the state policy as we know it, which did not define unenforceable or uncollectible under state law. And thus, we were told we had to open those. So we opened those. And in the last year, in Ramsey County, less than 1% of the money that we opened on those cases we actually collect. So I know the state is looking at 50%, but our short term in a year is it's actually less than 1%. And so we got a difference of opinion here. So that's my best answer on that, that our perspective is that not only is it high, it's way high. Because when the state looked at it, from my perspective in reading the fiscal note, is they were looking at the three-year criteria and then just putting a 50% on it. And as I've testified in other hearings on this bill, that the three-year mark is the first cut we make, and then we analyze the case to see if we've used all of our tools that are available to us, what do we know about the individual, and the likelihood of collectability. So we're going to narrow it down, which is why, with respect, I disagree with the 50%.
Mr. Campbell?
Mr. Chair and members of the committee, with much of what Mr. Ponsol says, I agree with. The only thing that I might disagree with, and I may have misheard him, is when he talked about the case closure that I think occurred with an audit last year. That was a closure that was based on one particular case closure criteria that was looked at. There are many case closure criteria, so you'd have to look at the whole spectrum of them, and we did in coming up with our estimate. But again, you know, we applied, I think, a standard formula that we used to come up with that 50%, and that's what our statisticians, we didn't have any information to give them to cause them to change that.
Any other questions of members?
Representative
Moran.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. So what I, from my understanding about this bill, is that these are really cases where they have gone back 3 years and looked and said, this is really the possibility of collecting any kind of child support is really minute. And that is someone who may be incarcerated, who may be, in their prediction, may be incarcerated for the next 10 years. There's no need to continue to keep that case open. It may be someone who's collecting SSI. There's no way you're going to get an opportunity to collect money. So it really is cases where there is no possibility or great possibility that child support collection is impossible. So is that a criteria that you will go by to close a case and keep that case closed, or are you bound by the federal government to continue to keep a case open, even though it's uncollectible?
Mr. Campbell?
Yes.
Mr. Chair, Representative Moran, basically, unless this bill passes, right now the only criteria that we have for closing a case is federal criteria. And if it meets federal criteria, we can close it. If it doesn't meet federal criteria, that we don't. There is a federal provision that allows states to enact a provision similar to what we have here. We don't disagree with the provision, with the whole bill. I mean, we worked with Mr. Ponsole in drafting the language, but we do feel that there are costs associated with it. That's all.
And then Representative Loeffler.
Well, thank you, Mr. Chair. Since we met last night, I was able to hear from Hennepin County, who felt like they have basically two FTEs who are doing dead-end cases, who, if they were able to put them on more likely cases, would actually greatly increase their collections. And I'm wondering if in your fiscal note you made any kind of adjustment for that, the fact that personnel would actually be working on much more fruitful collection efforts, because that would be their intent.
Okay, Senator Loeffler, Mr. Chair.
Mr. Campbell.
We don't know how a county, and there's 87 counties, we don't know how each county will address its caseload. For example, some counties may put in, take the savings that they get and put it into cases that are dead-enders that they think they can get collections on. And they will make additional collections if they do that. Some other counties may find that it suits their purpose worth to take salary savings and basically reduce their complement of staff, perhaps, and save money in that regard. Also, if you're going to save money on a case, the case has to have potential to have a collection. In other words, a lot of the cases that we have are cases where the potential for collection is very little, and no matter how many staff or no matter what we do, we're not going to get money from someone who's in prison, someone who's perhaps mentally ill and unable to pay, someone who's unemployed. All those situations, you know, prevent us from making collection. Where we can make a collection is where work that should be done isn't being done, and the additional time that this bill would provide would be directed toward those cases. But these are all decisions that will be made by the counties, and I suspect that all the counties may make slightly different decisions.
Mr. Ponsole?
Mr. Chair and Representative Loeffler, I'm from Ramsey County, and we figured it would be one FTE, and we have 30% of the cases if you add Hennepin and Ramsey's together. So that's three FTEs. And using a little bit of simple math, Ramsey County has, if we have a court order on a case, we average collections of $2,000 a year on that case, $2,000 a year on that. So if we had three FTEs working those cases, we figure one FTE can produce about 200 new orders. So that's 3 times 200, which is 600, times 2,000, which is $1.2 million that we think we could collect on by shifting the workers over there. And as to the comment about, well, some of the cases we won't be able to be fruitful, that's the point of this proposed legislation. When we're working the case, it becomes less fruitful. We move it over and close it, and then we keep working the cases that we know we can collect on and thereby serve more children and more families.
Senator Hayden?
Well, thank you, Mr. Chair. It almost appears that we're kind of talking around and around and around, and we're kind of saying almost everybody's agreeing that it probably would be a good thing to do, except for the criteria that we have, and to think about how to do it doesn't allow the department to find the savings. But if we do it, there's a likelihood that there would be savings, but we can't say it now because the criteria in which we look at it doesn't allow us to do it. So I guess what I would say is, why don't we just allow the department to absorb it, absorb the cost, and then make this provision in law, and then we can evaluate it, and I imagine that we're going to find the savings. Because it seems like that's what we're talking about, and I know for me, we should kind of do this. It sounds logical. People nod their heads. It sounds like it's the right thing to do. People have made their case, so why don't we just, if we can't get out of the cost, I think we all kind of feel like it's probably going to save us some money. I'd be willing to just have the department absorb it, which probably won't be a cost, and the counties can get on about their business and collect the money that they can actually collect.
So, Senator Hayden, you're suggesting we just carry the costs on in our bill?
No, I just think that we should do what's appropriate to make the department absorb the cost.
Oh, okay.
That's what I'm suggesting.
Well, that's what we're trying to, okay, that's what we're kind of trying to get behind here. What are the, you know, there's the systems costs piece as well. I'd like you to briefly address the PRISM costs. It seemed, what was it, $39,000 or something? $36,000. And the counties seem to say that there was a mechanism for closing these as well. There seemed to be some dispute as to whether that was a legitimate cost too. Can you give some insight into that, Mr. Campbell?
Mr. Chairman, I hope so. The costs that we had, that we came up with, were generated by the people who actually run the system, who work the system, who design the system, and it was their best estimate in terms of time, et cetera, that produced the costs that were reported. In addition to that, they require that certain amount of money, I think it's roughly 20% of that cost, gets carried forward in subsequent years to maintain the system and do all the things that need to be done to keep that system component running.
Mr. Poncel, any final words? And then we're probably going to move on and just...
Just a very short different perspective. I'm not a computer person. I have no expertise in that, and so I'm not going to try to say you can reprogram something in ways I don't know, but here's what I do know. I do know there is presently a closing code, 919, under the Minnesota policy and in PRISM. It's consistent with the federal closing criteria. It's consistent with the state closing criteria. That's right now, if this bill was passed, that's the code I would use, would be 919. So there may be other background things that need to be done in PRISM. I don't know that. I'm not testifying about that. But we would be using the present Minnesota code.
Representative Loeffler.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I was just going to ask that question, whether the counties felt like they needed the computer backup or not.
Okay. So I think we have probably the best advice that we can as a committee get, and I thank you for that.
Thank you for inviting us back. We appreciate
absolutely.
It.
Absolutely.
Thank you, Mr.
Chair. So with that, we'll move on to, and maybe I'll just read the articles and sections that we're going to take up just to help people through this. The next couple are Article 4 and Article 5. In Article 4, Chemical and Mental Health, we can take up Senate Sections 14 and 17. We were going to do 9, which was that civil commitment bill, but I think we need to hold on that for a minute. And as a heads up, in Article 5, the DHS program integrity, we're going to be able to take up Senate Section 7. And I'll try to give a heads up as we move forward here.
Thank you.
On Senate Section 9, maybe we could actually just even, in case members of the public wish to take a look at it, we could have the A-236 amendment distributed and made available so people can take a look at it. It is that civil commitment that deals with the 48-hour hold, and there's an issue as to whether it applies on weekends and whether that would run into a cost or not. I know some of the members of the conference committee have some more insights into that, but I was asked by Senator Ortman to hold on this for this evening. So we can make that amendment public and provide opportunity to get more feedback. But then there's a couple of, I believe these are both no-cost items, correct, 14 and 17? Psychiatric consult and clinical care. This isn't the one I was asking about. This is, no, I was asking for the A-236 amendment. I'm sorry. As I described, it just says excluding weekends and holidays so that, and I think Representative Liebling.
Yeah.
We'll just make that.
What is this two pounds?
This is for Senate Section 9.
Okay. Mr. We're not going to move it now.
Publicly available okay. To see if we can see what we're trying to do. So that, just by way of explanation, the A236 amendment is just being made public so that people can take a look at it. I've gotten a lot of conversation about this item, and I'd like people to have the opportunity to see what it is that we're considering. And Senator Ortman did ask me if we could hold on this tonight. She's got some more ideas she'd like to follow up with you on, and I told her that we would. Public. And
Mr. Chair.
Representative Liebling, did you have some thoughts?
Yeah, I just wanted to add to that, Mr. Chair, that when we had talked about this yesterday,
yep.
It was yesterday, I had mentioned that I would wanted to hear some more testimony about the whole section, and I've had some conversations, so I don't feel I need to do that any longer. I don't know if other members do, but I'm comfortable with the general section.
Okay.
Having heard from DHS about that, but I will be offering this amendment when the time comes.
So now it's public and provide a little better opportunity for people to track. And with that, we'll move on to Senate Section 14. Still in Article 4.
Mr. Chair, I would move Section 14 of the Senate language in Article 4. And what this does is add a psychologist and advanced practice registered nurse that can then consult with a psychiatric mental health provider for MA clients.
So any questions on the Senate Section 14? Staff did walk through this on the side-by-side walkthrough. Representative Abler.
Mr. Chair, I'm just trying to help my favorite group, the LPCCs. I know that they're capable. There was some question about cost when I had this amendment on the House floor. But if you can add the advanced practice nurses, would there be no cost to add LPCCs?
My recollection is we had a brief discussion about that in conference committee here as well, and that there was
I'll look into it. I'll just, if there's no cost, probably nobody minds, but I'll not mess up tonight, but I'll work on that. So
okay.
You can move on this. But I'll maybe come back to it.
Any further discussion on Representative Huntley's motion? Senate Section 14 of Article 4.
Good idea.
Seeing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 All those opposed, same sign. Motion prevails. Another budget that was a budget neutral item, by the way. Another budget neutral item is Senate Section 17, still in Article 4.
Mr. Chair, I would move Section 17.
Representative Huntley moves Senate Section 17, which is a clinical care coordination. Adding that as a Medicaid benefit. Any further discussion? Any discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. All those opposed, same sign. Motion prevails. Moving on to Article 5, we only have one item in there. It is Senate Section 7, House Section 4. This is regarding Medicaid provider recoveries. And now we actually do have the A245 amendment.
They adopted.
Jerry, I was looking for you.
And this A245 amendment is an amendment to the already adopted A226 amendment. And what this does is it scales the surety bond amount to the MA revenue collected by the agency.
Mm.
So, Mr. Chair, I would move the A245 amendment to the amendment or?
Yes, amendment.
Was 8226 already adopted?
Yep, 8226 was already adopted.
Okay,
in
so I would move the A245 amendment to Senate Section 7 as amended by the A226 amendment.
Yep. That's what it is. And again, this scales the surety bond amount and scales it to the Medicaid revenue collected by the agency. So if the agency collects more Medicaid revenue, they'd need a higher surety bond than one that does a very small book of MA business. And this was an agreement worked on with the providers.
Mr. Chair?
Representative Abler.
I think the audience would like us to talk about this for quite a while if we could.
What's that?
I think the audience would enjoy another thorough discussion of surety bonds.
I'm sorry, I still couldn't hear you.
Hi.
No, but in all seriousness, is there anyone who would like to ask any questions about this? Okay. Seeing none, on Representative Huntley's motion on the A245 amendment, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. All those opposed, same sign. Motion prevails.
Adopt seven.
And then did we already adopt? We held the Section 7, so now we have Senate Section 7 in order.
So, Mr. Chair, I would move Senate Section 7 of Article 5 as amended.
On that motion, any further discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 All those opposed, same sign. Motion prevails. All right. So, Article 6, the health care article. Let me run through the items that I think we can take up. They are Senate Sections 6 and 7 and 13 and 17. Section 6 is money, but it is EMA coverage of dialysis and cancer treatment. And we've all, you know, at the level of spending that we have right now, we've all agreed that we probably need to move forward with this.
So,
and move the House.
Yeah, Mr. Chair, I would move the House Section 6 in Article 6.
Representative Huntley moves Article 6, House Section 6. Any discussion on that motion? Seeing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
All those opposed, same sign. Motion prevails. The next one is Senate Section 7, House Section 8. Which is outpatient drug payments and 340B. We're not going to be acting on 340B this evening, but the outpatient drug payments, the Senate language on that.
So, Mr. Chair, I would move the Senate language, Section 7 of Article 6.
Mm-hmm. And move the effective date to July 1 as a recommendation from DHS. I have a note.
And move the effective date to July 1 of
2013.
Of 2013.
Representative Huntley moves Article 6, Senate Section 7, changing the effective date to July 1, 2013. On that motion, any discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
All those opposed, same sign. Motion prevails.
This is a good one.
Senate Section 13, House Section 22. This was the FQHC provision providing for multiple services offered on the same day, having Medicaid allowed to be able to pay for both of those services. And again, we've all agreed that this is a good provision.
So, Mr. Chair, I would move in Article 6, Senate Section 13.
On that motion, any further discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. All those opposed, same sign. Motion prevails. Section 17 is the Merck transfer.
Article 4.
And in discussions, I believe there may be comfort at moving to the House's level on the Merck transfer from PMAP.
So, Mr. Chair, I would move in Article 6, House Section 15.
That motion, any further discussion? What's this for? This one?
Six.
Hold on 1 second. Is it on this section? On the Representative Huntley's motion to adopt Article 6, House Section 15. Any discussion? Then this is at the governor's level and the House's level of $12.8 million. On that motion, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. All those opposed, same sign. Motion prevails. We have a, where did this come from? Oh, okay. This is, you want to move that one, the A79? Taking the cover. Okay, this is taking a rider that covers the coverage of inmates and moving it into law because it is intended to stay law forever. So it's a technical amendment, new section in Article 6. No money. We've already adopted the money piece of it. So, but it was put in the rider section, and it needs to go in the law. So it's technically putting this policy in the law.
Okay. Mr. Chair, I would move the A79 amendment to Article 6.
Which section?
While that's being distributed.
That's where it is.
Yeah, right. Yep. It all starts to make sense again. Everyone have the A79 amendment? Any discussion? Seeing none.
Seeing no amendment.
Oh, sorry. this just puts into law that the Commissioner of Human Services shall execute an interagency agreement with Commissioner of Corrections to get the non-federal share for the inpatient hospital coverage for inmates, and that covers both the Department of Corrections and the county corrections. I believe. So on that, any further discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 All those opposed, same sign. Motion prevails. Article 6. Article 7, the continuing care article. There's a couple of provisions.
This is both lines.
It's in one
yeah.
Pair.
Yeah.
One section.
You want to take this?
Does that leave out half and count?
I wasn't there, so I'm just.
Paragraphs A and B could work, and we'll have to hold on paragraph C.
Okay. Mr. Chair, I would move in Article 7, Section 19, paragraphs A and B.
I'm just saying, but that stuff all kind of.
And we'll hold on Section C.
So this corrects a calculation error involving property rate increases for nursing facility construction projects in Dakota and McLeod counties. There's no cost to this. It's built into the construction project pieces that the department tracks. So we had a discussion about this as we went through. And on that, any further discussion? Representative Abler.
Mr. Chairman, so paragraph C, is that Senator Siebens' project?
No. Senator Siebens is the Dakota County, and Senator
paragraph
Newman
C.
was the McLeod County, and the paragraph C is a Hennepin County one, and I'm not sure.
Well, C says Dakota County. The Senate, oh, the Senate C is Dakota County.
House C is. Mr. Chair and members,
Mr. LeBaco.
Senate Section 19, paragraph B is the McLeod, paragraph C is Dakota, whereas House Section 18, paragraph B is McLeod, so those two align, and then paragraph C is Hennepin County. So that is where the difference is the paragraph C's. And if members want to go to page R21, it may be a little more clear.
Do we have the proper motion in front of us, would you say, Mr. LeBaco? A and B?
Yeah, essentially Senate Section 19 would be. Or, I'm sorry, B and C.
B and C?
So the entire Senate Section 19 would be the motion. And then I believe you were going to hold on House Section 18, paragraph C.
Okay, so we don't have the proper motion in front of us, as a matter of fact. We should be moving.
Should I withdraw? I would withdraw that motion.
We should be moving Senate Section 19,
yep.
Will be hold, which includes the McLeod County and the Dakota County corrections, and we will hold the House paragraph C, which is the Hennepin County provision, open for a later discussion.
So, Mr. Chair, I would withdraw that motion, and I would move that we adopt Section 19 of the Senate language in Article 7.
Okay. Now we do have the right motion in front of us. Any further discussion on that motion? Oh. Seeing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
All those opposed, same sign. Motion prevails. We have a roll call upstairs again.
I'm going to go, yeah, sorry.
I'm not You just hit three random letters.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. It's actually not an elevator in Hennepin County, although maybe that big government center could use one that's a little faster. This is actually related to a facility that's in northeast Minneapolis that is in a situation where they need to replace their elevator, and that will cost $130,000+, and in order to qualify as a property improvement, which we have automatically in our rates, they would have to spend another $100,000. They'd really prefer not to have spend $100,000 on resources that they don't feel like they need in order to get the rate to reflect it. The fiscal note on this that we had gotten was $8,700 per year, so it's not a big cost item. It's a facility that does a lot of care for people with mental illness who also happen to have some people who are morbidly obese, so I really want them to have a safe elevator. and we will, when we adopt it, need to do a minor amendment because we drafted it to 100 beds and they actually are licensed for 101 to just make sure that we're accurate. But that's the circumstance of that particular facility, and they're really kind of unique in terms of the specialty population that they serve.
I think, did you have a bill in the House then? You got a fiscal note on? Is there a bill number?
Mr. Chair, we did get a fiscal note on this. And like I say, Mr. Berg could confirm the amount, but I believe it was $8,700 per year.
Mr. Chair, actually, I think it was $3,700 or
$3,500
or $3,700.
It was under
$10,000. Is there a bill we can look up and look at the fiscal note? We'll hold on the item for today. But
Mr. Chair, I believe I brought this in as a rider when we were putting together the bill because we were trying to figure out if there were any other ways you could deal with this minor amount of money and was told this was the best way to deal with it.
Okay.
Bob Held can testify to the cost.
Testify that it falls under the exception.
I see Mr. Held here from DHS.
They need their elevator.
Mr. Held, welcome to the committee. State your name for the record.
Mr. Chair, Bob Held, Department of Human Services.
Which one are we on?
It's my understanding of the language, which I've got on R21.
Yeah.
Section 18 on the House, paragraph C, that there would be no cost to this provision, that it costs money, obviously, to give them a rate increase, but money that's already been appropriated for moratorium projects would be made available under this language, and therefore the net effect is zero.
Even better.
That's
even better, Mr. Held. Thank you.
Somebody else.
And what you'd be essentially doing is allowing for a smaller project that wouldn't meet the threshold for spending in order to qualify for the increases for upgrades. Are we creating a situation where there may be a lineup at all of our doors for smaller projects that don't meet these thresholds? That would be my concern.
Mr. Chair, that's a possibility.
Mr. Chair?
Because the Dakota and McLeod County were mistakes that DHS admitted to in having instructed the nursing homes that the projects that they were undertaking would be covered in this process, and then, I don't remember exactly how the mistake worked, but turned out they weren't, and they should have been, and so correcting those is a mistake. It doesn't open up any floodgates to smaller,
Mr. Chair,
to more of these coming in and exploding this relatively small pool of money. And that's...
I understand your concern, Mr. Chair. And one way we might be able to address that is this is actually a code compliance issue related to a change elevator code. And maybe we could come up with some language that writes this to say that it's in order to comply with a code requirement and make it fairly narrow. So it's not adding new enhancements to the facility.
So let's work on that a little bit. One clarifying point I'd like to get from you, though, Representative Loeffler, it sure sounded like an elevator in Hennepin County to me when you described it, when you said it wasn't.
It is an elevator in a wonderful facility that serves a unique population. But it's a very special facility located in Hennepin County.
We have a roll call on the Senate floor. We're going to be covering Article 7, Continuing Care, Senate Sections 26, 33, 39, and 44 for anyone who wants to look at those. We'll be right back.
So, Danielle, work your magic.
Mr. Chair, I would move Senate Section 26 of Article 7, and it's identical to the House language.
And this just makes a cross-reference change. It updates a cross-reference to align with an obsolete paragraph being deleted elsewhere. That I think we adopted another section that this needs to be conforming to. So any other discussion on that? Seeing none, all those in favor of Representative Huntley's motion signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. All those opposed, same sign. Motion prevails.
Mr. Chair.
Representative Abler.
Just back to that moratorium exception thing and your effort at consistency. There is one constant element between every moratorium exception that's listed in statute. There was one interested legislator who worked on it.
Yep.
And good effort. Good luck trying to be consistent with that, and I applaud you for your efforts, and maybe you'll succeed or not. But it's,
well, I mean, I
understand.
I think we can probably get where we need to be on this.
Yeah, good.
Section 33.
Move it. Yep. Mr. Chair, I would move Senate Section 33 of
Article 7.
Article 7.
This is a Senate-only provision dealing. It exempts individuals receiving general assistance who are in housing opportunities for persons with AIDS program from residency ratio restrictions in community living settings. We had this gone over when we did the walkthroughs. Any further discussion? Representative Loeffler.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And I was just trying to quick find the language because we this was handled in a bill carried by Representative Ray Dean, and the committee had done some work to make sure that it complied with some Olmstead concerns and that sort of thing. And Senator Hayden was the Senate author, and I thought he had told me that he had adopted similar language, but I'm just trying to find that.
Mr. Chair.
Mr. Lubeko.
And members of the committee, Senate Section 29 and House Section 28 has a similar exemption, and those were identical and adopted, and that dealt with people on waivered services. And what the only difference between the House and Senate, both in this bill and the separate bills, is that the Senate also has that exception for those on general assistance. Okay. And there was no additional cost for this provision.
Okay.
Yep.
All right. Thank you. That helps clarify it. Thank you.
Any further discussion on Representative Huntley's motion to adopt Senate Section 33? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 All those opposed, same sign. Motion prevails. Senate section.
Agreed to the money on this one.
44. Oh, 39. Oops, I missed that. Yep. Yeah.
That's money, right?
Yeah, it's the same.
Yeah, but yep. You agreed to it. Is there okay. money on that? I didn't think so.
We agreed to it.
We agreed to it.
Oh, okay. Good.
It actually saves a few bucks. It's the tablet computers.
Oh.
For
yep. Yep.
So,
Mr. Lebeco says no, and he says yes.
Mr. Lebeco, we're looking at Senate Section 39, Assistive Technology Funding Development Study.
Yes, Mr. Chair, members, I think I overheard a little bit, and this is different than the tablet provision that I believe was already adopted. This was coming out of a Senator Hoffman bill, and this is just directing the department to study the use of assistive technology, sensors in homes, and things like that. So there's no, it was a no-cost study.
Okay.
With the report due.
So, Mr. Chair, I would move Senate Section 39 of Article 7.
On that motion, any further discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. All those opposed, same sign. Motion prevails. Okay.
We both agree to this one.
What it says here, we can adopt a portion of this repealer. What portion?
Yes, Mr. Chair and members, if you go to the very end of the article in the repealer section, there are several provisions that are repealed. And so specifically for the 1.67 rate reduction, on the Senate side, it would be page 273.24 through 26, so those last three lines. So in that, 256B.5012 subdivision 13 is the rate reduction for ICFDDs. And then the session laws in 2011, 2012 were the rate cuts, and then the contingency rate cut for home and community-based providers.
We have another roll call. Let's adopt this one and close up this.
What portion? Part of this do we want to move in?
Mr. Chair and members, it's the last three lines in the Senate language, so lines 273.24 through 273.26 is where the rate reduction.
Representative Huntley moves adoption of the Senate language 273.24 through 273.26. On that motion, any further discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 All those opposed, same sign. Motion prevails. That closes out Article 7 that we cannot closes it out, but it ends the work that we can do tonight. Article 8, I think we'd like to come back to a couple of amendments, one on both of the two on restraints that were made earlier, made public earlier, and we had some testimony on those. We'd maybe like to hear if people had further thoughts on those. I've been getting some pretty positive feedback on the work behind them, have one of them to be updated and maybe ready to adopt them.
Copies of the old ones?
Where would we do it?
Just amend it in here.
Talk about two amendments. One day last week, they were the A-222 amendment and the A-224 amendment. The A-224 has been updated, and we can make that public. That will be the A-84 amendment. I think maybe we can get DHS to describe some of those the updates that needed to be made in that one. And I'm aware of two other amendments that we could work on, one dealing with the essential community provider and the effective date of that, and one dealing with the role of counties. Ms. Bartolik, welcome to the committee. You're going to tell us about the A-84, is that correct?
Hello, Chair. My name is Alex Bartolik with the Department of Human Services. And in A-84, the changes were really technical changes. As we went through, there was nothing substantial. There was nothing that affected policy or what we were trying to do. It was just to try to address some minor details. So if you wanted us to identify that, I could bring up my colleague, Catherine Finlayson, to walk through the specifics, but to know there was nothing of substantial.
Okay. If it's just technical updates, I don't know, maybe I'll do members have the A84 amendment in front of them? I believe that was distributed. And so with that, maybe now that we've had over a week for members of the public to kind of absorb the A-222 and now the updated, what is the A-84 amendment, maybe I'd open it up for public testimony if anyone wished to offer either support or opposition to either of these.
It has to do with the training.
No, offer one at a time.
Mr. Chair, I would offer the A-222 amendment.
On that motion, Representative Abler.
Mr. Chair, and the ARC and others have signed off on this. I just didn't catch their eye in the room.
I saw the ARC here, representatives from there earlier. I believe that they have reviewed this carefully and have been watching. Yeah, I'm getting nods from the audience. I don't see Mr. Larson in the room, but I do know that they've been involved in.
Mr. I understand the value of nods. I appreciate the nods. Thank you.
On Representative Huntley's motion on the A-222 amendment, any further discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, same sign. Motion prevails.
Mr. Chair, I would move the A-84 amendment.
That motion. Any further discussion of members? Anyone from the audience care to offer testimony either in support or opposition to the A-84 amendment? Seeing none. On Representative Huntley's motion on the A-84 amendment, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
All those opposed, same sign. Motion prevails. Okay. And then, now, staff, did we get those into the conference committee report? Did we make the proper motions from your perspective?
Mr. Chair, members, some of the sections are, but some of the sections are modified in the amendments. You need to go and adopt the section then, which I think... I don't know what House staff thinks, but there's a lot of moving pieces in this article, so maybe we can adopt the amendments and then
have
the whole package.
What we've done is adopted amendments to the language, and then staff will continue to work on the articles on the sections that we've amended, and we'll, over the next, sometime before Thursday at midnight, get to those sections and bring them into the conference committee report. Okay, so... So we've adopted both of those amendments. We have a technical amendment. Representative Huntley moves the A-252 amendment. That reads a little more than technical. Ms. Pinelli.
Mr. Chair, members, this was requested by DHS, and it allows the commissioner to provide exemptions to new waiver provider training requirements.
Would you characterize it as technical?
Mr. Chair, I don't know. Maybe DHS would like to comment.
Maybe DHS could.
Mr. Chair, while they're coming.
Representative Abler?
I characterize it as sensible.
As some what? As
sensible. Some of these people are newly licensed.
Those are very different things.
Yeah.
Ms. Bartolik.
Mr. Chair and members, this amendment is offered to try to avoid a provider or an owner or a member of a provider agency from going through a training around the billing or what it takes to be a home and community-based provider twice if they've already gone through a similar or the same training in the past.
Okay. That does sound sensible. Is there anyone from any questions of members while we have Ms. Bartolik at the table? Seeing none, is there anyone from the audience that wishes to speak either in support or opposition to the AA 252 amendment? Seeing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. All those opposed, same sign. Motion prevails. And then Representative Loeffler moves the AA 254 amendment.
Mr. Chair, I'd be glad to do that. And this amendment came from representatives of county workers who, you know, we've got a lot of change going on in Article 8 and who really wanted to make sure that the role of county workers, county licensing staff, counties and roles in quality assurance were considered by the commissioner as they're implementing all these many changes. And I had the chance to talk to Mr. Kerber, who was comfortable with this and didn't feel there was any cost. It was their intent to continue to do this. But because there's so much change, people will like a little clarity that those things will be taken into consideration.
On the A254 amendment, any questions of members? There's a little technical correction on line 1.12. It's the centers of Medicare and Medicaid services.
Good eye. Mr. Chair, I would
incorporate
that.
Oh, is it of or for? Is it? It might be for.
Four or
what is it? I can't.
I think it's four.
Is it four. The center's four?
Yeah.
Four. Center's four.
Staff, anybody know what CMS is?
It's CMS, actually.
It's the Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services. So,
Mr. Thank Chair, you, Representative Loeffler.
Incorporates on line 1.12, striking or and replacing it with four, and incorporates that into the A 254 amendment. Any further discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor of the A 254 amendment as amended signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. All those opposed, same sign. Motion prevails.
Mr. Chair, I think we should have an exam before we go home.
All right. Now we have, I believe, one more.
Yep.
Senator Franzen.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I move the A83 amendment. I believe you still have it in the package. And this one clarifies the effective date for pediatric hospitals so they can become essential community providers and start negotiations with plans. It's just clarifying language for Children's Hospital. I don't know if they're here and want to testify in support of it.
This was Senator Franzen. This was my mistake. I thought that was to the Article 8, but
I apologize.
It's my fault. This is to Article 12, but Article 12 is what we're moving to next. So
we're
on Article 12 and can still entertain the A83.
And it's an amendment to a previous amendment.
Okay, so we adopted
the
A227 amendment. Yes, I have it here still. And this changes the effective date from January 1, 2014 to the day following final enactment, which is a day I look forward to.
Testify?
Any discussion on the A83 amendment? Oh, not everybody has it.
Thank you. Yeah.
Oh, look at this. My note said it was Article 12, too. All right.
Mr. Chair.
Representative Abler.
Maybe Representative Franzen. What's the effective? What happens with this amendment that wouldn't happen without it?
My Mr. Chair, Representative Abler, my understanding is that the language is right now, I believe the effective date originally was July?
The effective date initially was January 1st,
2014.
And what go ahead.
Well, the intent was that essential community providers would be able to negotiate with plans And the language, I know there was a misunderstanding or maybe difference of interpretation from DHS and the providers that they would have to wait until January 1st, 2014 to start negotiating. So this clarifies that, is my understanding.
Oh, right. Between the Department of Commerce actually would enforce the essential community provider designation, and if it's effective earlier, it can have a bearing on when essential community provider designation means that health carriers have to offer contracts to essential community providers, and some of these facilities would like to make sure that they're included in the negotiations as we move forward at the earliest possible stage.
And so they would, this just allows them to talk,
but
it would have started the contract year whenever the contract year was or something. I mean, it's not a big deal. I was just kind of curious what the effect of the amendment would be.
It's just
give some talk.
A little further encouragement to negotiate earlier with
negotiations are good. Is this sensible?
These providers.
This is a sensible amendment, Mr. Chair?
This is a sensible amendment.
Right,
it's not. It's not technical, but it is sensible. Any further discussion on the A83 amendment? Seeing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, same sign. Motion prevails. And Article 14. Prematurity Task Force. None of the rest of this Article 12 stuff is good to go? Oh, I think it is, yeah. Vital Statistics is good.
Oh,
that would
be
eminent. Yep. Okay. The Senate has some Department of Health, Office of Vital Statistics modifications that made it through the Senate provisions, and I know that the Department of Health has been working hard with Representative Liebling. I believe we could have a motion for several sections right here that we did step through in the side-by-side. So I think at this point, entertain a motion. Representative Liebling moves section 14 through 27 and sections 93, 94, and 95 of the Senate language.
That
which
would
is
be the motion, Mr. Chair.
The Office of Vital Statistics modifications from the Department of Health. With a technical amendment, maybe we should adopt that. Maybe Representative Liebling moves the A57 amendment first, a technical amendment. Very technical. Talking about.
Sensible. You're not kidding me.
Looks important.
Is fine.
Yes.
Mr. Chair, I think we have a roll call.
All right.
Seven before we go.
Okay.
All right. Representative Liebling moves the A57 amendment. On that, any further discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. All those opposed, same sign. Motion prevails. And then on Representative Liebling's motion to adopt Senate sections 14 through 27 and Senate sections 93, 94, and 95 as amended by the technical amendment. Any further discussion? Seeing none on that motion. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. All those opposed, same sign. Motion prevails. We'll be right back. We had some testimony on that earlier. I believe there is an amendment. Is it the – I don't know what the amendment is.
Mr. Chair.
Somebody has it.
Mr. Chair.
Sorry.
Ms. Cleveland.
There is not a drafted amendment. The only difference was they wanted to change the number of task force members from 15 to 11.
We can probably do that orally. Okay.
It's language.
Representative Huntley, you want to move House Section 78?
I would move House Section 78, but I would change the number of members from 15 to 11.
On that motion, everyone understand it?
Mm-hmm.
Any discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 All those opposed, same sign. Motion prevails. And then we have a couple of amendments in. Is there a repeal? Okay. I got too many lists. Hold on here. Okay. Some repealer section. Okay, we can do this one too. Section.
Mr. Chair, I would move Section 98 of Article 12.
Senate Section 98. Which is the repealers, and all of these are ready to move. Any questions of members? Any discussion on Representative Huntley's motion? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, same sign. Motion prevails. Okay. All right. Then in Article 14, which is a appropriations article, we have two amendments, and
I don't think we should do those right now.
Representative Huntley.
Well, we'll have these passed out, but it's the A86 amendment, and I would move that.
Representative Huntley moves the A86 amendment.
Yeah.
Mr. Albrecht, do you wish to describe this amendment?
Mr. Chair and members, this amendment deals with the health-related boards. You may recall that when we did a previous amendment, the A54, it included a number of appropriations that were reappropriating money for expired appropriations for rulemaking. This amendment will cancel the fiscal year 12 and 13 appropriations that are again reappropriated in fiscal years 14 and 15. That's what happens on lines 1.4 through 10. this amendment also includes an additional $18,000 for the Board of Nursing Home Administrators for shared office space and administrative support. That's what happens on lines 11 through 17. Lines 19 to 35 are also canceling a fiscal year 12 and 13 appropriation. And on page 2, lines 1 through 7 are canceling a 2012 and 13 appropriation.
Members, the 18,000 additional appropriation to the Board of
Nursing Home administrators.
Members may recall we adopted the board sections and offered them the opportunity to explain if they thought that we had omitted something critical, and this was the only response we got back as to a missing piece, and we just said, all right, that 18,000 goes back in as well. Other than that, it's adopting to the spreadsheet as it has already been passed out and covered. So on the A86 amendment, any further discussion? Representative Abler.
Mr. just to the topic, I don't really know what you're doing at this amendment, but the Cairo board did get a hold of me, and they would like that part-time individual for their end-of-year crush. They probably didn't know they should talk to you, but they... So anyway, at some point I made up an amendment to, it's like 19,000 or something for them at some point. So that's just to the topic.
Okay. On the A86 amendment, any further discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
All those opposed, same sign. Motion prevails. Then we have one more in Article 14.
Mr. Chair, I would move the A93 amendment.
Mr. Albrecht?
Mr. Chair, what this does is the health department wants to move the money with for some of their activities, healthcare homes activities, and the Office of the State Epidemiologist. And while they have the authority to do this, if they just use that authority, then they have to send you a letter telling you that they transferred the money. And if we do it this way, we can actually move the money when we appropriate it to them. So that's what happens on lines 1.5 to 1.7 and 1.21 to 1.23. And in the previous bill, the criminal background checks bill, there was language in there that would apply to the health department if the Sunset Advisory Commission is repealed. And so lines 1.9 to 1.18 would establish a rider incorporating money that they would need in fiscal year 2017 to implement that provision if it's necessary.
Any questions of members? Further comments? Seeing none on Representative Huntley's motion on the A93 amendment, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
All those opposed, same sign. Motion prevails. We're done with the business that we're able to take up tonight. We will plan on getting back again together again tomorrow. It will be at the call of the chair. I've been instructed that it will not be at 8 a.m. We'll be
taking about six
after that. And we now have room 123 for us. Members can leave their materials. The room will be locked. Nobody else can. Same rules apply. You have to take your stuff. We're not allowing bags or papers or reserved seating.